What if I told you that your religion, even if you are sincere, can never get you to heaven? All human religion seems to be very much the same. If you can imagine looking at your religion from the outside, there are people claiming to know the way to heaven and give strict rules to follow a certain kind of pathway. If you haven't grown up within the context of that religious point of view or haven't been forced to observe the tenets, you are going to be very skeptical. Why? By common observation, it's not immediately clear why observing a certain set of practices could ever get you to a final destination like heaven. Look up to the sky, and what do you see? You see the sky, a sun, moon, and stars. You don't see what people typically refer to as heaven. You don't see a paradise in the clouds, and you can't see any way to really know that there is a heaven for sure. It's certainly not obvious how to get there. People have observed many different religions over the years, either to lord their authority over other people or to try to figure out ways to live forever. I'm afraid the atheists have it right here. There is no empirical evidence that even suggests the existence of heaven as an ethereal plane or faraway destination. And there is no empirical evidence that God is. There is no empirical evidence that the human consciousness or soul continues to exist after the body dies. We have 8 billion people lost in this quite beautiful mess of religious perspective, and most everyone seems to be sincere in their faith and bold in their confessions. Yet, people in the midst of different religious perspectives disagree with one another about metaphysical realities. Most everyone believes that there is something beyond our current comprehension or observation. The scientists are trying to see more and more. I'm convinced that even if they believe there is a God, they are slow to simply conclude on a scientific basis that God did it because they are afraid to stop pursuing knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge is their religion, and it can be admirable. Atheists take that a little too far, I think, to disbelieve in God based only on what is observable. It is foolish to try to measure what is unobservable only by what can be observed. Some people make up origin stories and claim to have secret knowledge about the metaphysical, which is not admirable. And some people believe the testimony that has been handed down to them in what they call sacred scriptures. The Bible is mine. This is admirable so long as we are humble in our belief. But I don't think most people are. Humanity is a quite prideful species. Just look at the development of our religious texts. People claimed to see the metaphysical reality, wrote some words, and somehow persuaded entire civilizations to believe them. But why should we? No one can see metaphysical reality, can they? This is the Andrew Paul Cannon podcast. Now, in Sunday's sermon at ASBC, I mentioned this observation. Now, here's the sermon if you want to listen. I'll put it in the comments below. There is a reason people develop different religious perspectives, practices, and theories about metaphysical realities. There is a reason people who disagree with one another fight and start holy wars to try ensuring their perspective reigns supreme. Now, since we can't see metaphysical realities, we are insecure about our beliefs. So we develop systems, rituals, practices, and sacraments to depict what we think, to make it feel real. We practice our flavor of religion with sincerity, and the practice truly makes us feel like we have connected with something beyond. I'm afraid this is a trick of the mind. Our brains are great at fooling us into confirming things that are not observable based on our desires and misunderstood experiences. In this, we are all the same. Confirmation bias is a ruthless master. And by stating the obvious question, have you actually observed what you believe? The need for great humility about our metaphysical beliefs becomes very clear. I have not seen what my eyes cannot see. I can't confirm what I think about metaphysical realities by plain observation. Therefore, I must conclude that I don't know very much at all, despite how sincere I am in my faith. A pilot asked the correct question of Jesus, what is truth? And Jesus was honest with Nicodemus when he revealed that Nicodemus could not see the kingdom of heaven. In fact, of all the religious texts I have read, the collection of literature we have in the Bible is the only sacred text that seems to just be honest with people about how impossible it is to see God, know his ways, or get to heaven. For example, in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, we see Paul writing this to the believers in Rome. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. In the Old Testament, we also see it in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We also see it in Job chapter 11, verses 7 through 9. Can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? It is higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. All of Scripture tells the story that God is unsearchable. He is unsearchable to us. Knowledge about him or of him is completely unattainable by the natural mind, which can only perceive what does not transcend, can only perceive what is temporal, only perceive what occupies space, only perceive what is visible or hearable or feelable. Now in John 3, not only did Jesus reveal that Nicodemus could not see the kingdom of heaven, he also claimed that one must be born of the Spirit to see or enter the kingdom of heaven. And he followed by claiming that Nicodemus could not make that happen. It was beyond his ability. The Spirit did this by the Spirit's will. Now, Nicodemus, he was a Jew and a Pharisee. He believed the Bible. At his time, that was the Old Testament text. He was sincere, offering sacrifices according to the law. He was practicing his equivalent to the sacraments and the prayers, and he was regularly attending synagogue like we would regularly attend a church or something similar according to our religion, thinking that that gets us close to God. Nicodemus was sincere in his faith and bold in his biblical knowledge. Yet, Jesus revealed how impossible it was for him to see. And if it was impossible for Nicodemus, it's also impossible for me. I am not more sincere than Nicodemus in my faith. And this is a call to humility concerning what we think about metaphysical reality. By the middle of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus was essentially calling Nicodemus to trust him. Jesus came from heaven. He knew the way back to the Father because he had been there. And instead of trusting in our own senses and intellect, Jesus was promising to get Nicodemus there. It is not for us to understand God like we try to understand created things. And it appears that, according to the Bible, God cannot be found out by employing either scientific or religious disciplines. I think that merits some skepticism toward anyone who claims to be able to reveal God or tell us exactly how to get to heaven or tell us how to maintain our salvation. It also adjusts our understanding of proper Christian faith. The proper Christian belief is the recognition that we can't get to God and trust that only one who came from heaven will get us there as we believe in him. That's Jesus Christ. And we have a great hope for the future because we believe Jesus. A proper biblical and Christian faith does not reject the scientific discipline. It doesn't mean we have to stop pushing to understand more. It does mean that we are incapable of seeing God with our natural eyes. The scientific discipline doesn't and will never get to God. It is good to continue striving to learn about what can be observed, but more surprisingly, though, religion doesn't get us to God according to the Bible. It never has. Even the Old Testament sacrificial system and ritual law wasn't purposed to get the people to God. It was given as a way for the nation of Israel to have long life and prosperity in the Promised Land. You can see that explicitly in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. This revelation greatly changes the way we think about religion. Religion is not a means of getting close to or remaining close to God. Now, religion serves a different purpose. Only puffed up, prideful religion claims to get us close to God or maintain our closeness to him. Since most human religion is this way, I conclude that the vast majority is puffed up and prideful. And no wonder there's so much conflict in the world today. The Bible claims about the religion handed to us therein that those who abide by the law will be blessed in what they do. Those whose religion requires them to speak or demand much have a worthless religion. And pure and undefiled religion is to treat others well in their time of need. Now, I've paraphrased this from James chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. Now, the purpose of religion, then, is to show us how to treat others well, such that we live long and prosper. There has been no change in purpose from the Old Testament. Now, we trust God to save regardless of religion. A pure religion leads us to healthy welfare and prosperity for all people. If our religion glorifies or promotes one person because of his teaching or authority, that's bad religion. If our religion requires us to sacrifice to get close to God, that's a manipulative and false religion. No one can see the way to God. If our religion teaches us to treat others well, promote peace and not take advantage of others, and it facilitates an environment in which we can practice such mutual service to one another, there is pure and undefiled religion. Not about sacraments, but about loving others. Jesus' revelation in John 3 means very much for us. There are many religions that are false. And it seems there are even many versions of Christianity that reek of bad religion. But being conformed to the image of Christ isn't about making ourselves look holy or better than anyone else. Our religion is about being conformed to the image of Christ such that we are always seeking others' good. We have a childlike faith in Christ such that God will deliver us to heaven. It's simple faith. It's like the faith children have in their fathers. But we don't have to work to get there. That's not a worry of ours because we can't see the way anyway. But let us have a worthwhile religion on this earth. Let us seek to adhere to the biblical law such that we all get to experience long life and prosperity. Amen. I thank you so much for listening to this episode of Andrew Paul Cannon Podcast. I hope you check out my blog. That's andrewpaulcannon.blog. Connect with me there. Connect with me on social media. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it right now. And if you are in my local area, I hope to see you at church. And you can check out our church at alexsbc.church. That's alexsbc.church. And I'll put links to all this in the description or in the comments for you. And I will catch you next time.